person who does something for the sake of reward, we're talking about that a little bit, as opposed to the thing itself, we're going to Lishma.
Right.
So one of the things I know the Rambam referenced, I know Chazal do this fairly often, is say that a person shouldn't do it for the sake of Olam Haba. The thing I never understood about that is that it seems that from everything I've been able to, every piece of understanding I've been able to gain about Olam Haba, the proper understanding of it is that it is simply the consequence of those things. So what would it even mean to say you're doing it for Olam Haba? Doing it for Olam Haba is really doing it for the thing itself if you have a proper understanding of Olam Haba. So why would Chazal include that in what they refer to as, you know, this is an incorrect way of doing it because it's the way of doing it for the reward? You know what I mean? That seems to be exactly the correct thing if you have the proper understanding of Olam Haba.
But you yourself admit that if you had the proper understanding of it, you wouldn't be doing it for that.
Well, so they're synonymous. You could either say, it's just a semantic point of terms. Either way, it's the same thing.
But it wouldn't make any sense to say that.
What do you mean?
It wouldn't be a goal.
The same way you're doing it just because that's the thing, you want to do the thing.
So there's not anything more.
Right, 100%.
But if you say it, it's like you're saying something new.
So it's the fact that you're saying it indicates a certain tendency in that direction.
As a different kind of a thing.
But really, essentially, I mean, insofar as the term is concerned, if you're using it correctly, it wouldn't be false. It wouldn't be a violation of that principle. Because you...
Well, that's like that Rambam there it's funny Rambam in the end of Tshuva.
It's interesting going to Olam Haba as a target and other things.
Right, he's doing the Shema, but then he's saying right about the Olam Haba.
I think so.
Let's leave that for a minute. Maybe we'll come back to that. I don't know. Let's see if it fits in over here.
Thanks.
Well, I'm day one.
All right.
Right. It's not that on the fish bus that rocks back and forth and makes this constant tapping sound.
Well, it's going to rock back and forth on anything, isn't it?
Yeah, the vibrations come from the table.
I mean, but the tissue box amplifies these sounds.
I don't know.
Much easier for
it. I think you put it on the tissues.
By the end of the year, you'll get it right.
I still see shaking or whatever.
No,
the tissues absorb the shaking.
Extinct
problem.
Suspension from the ceiling.
Okay.
It would work. You set it up, you know.
If you build it. Feel the bleep. That's
what I'm saying. So we were discussing the idea of Lishma, right? In the Rambam here. In the Rambam. Yeah, we're doing in Chelek. Yeah. Alright, so what are we up to here?
Talking about love.
Got a little bit off topic, right? It's true. Yeah. Alright, I mean, the Ram is trying to explain the idea of Lishma. Right? So he says, he starts out with the Marshall. That if you have a child and you want the child to learn, so the child doesn't understand the value of the Torah, doesn't understand the value of the subject, so he's not going to do it for the thing itself. So he has to have another purpose. You have to give him another purpose. Say, learn, and I'll give you candy. Right?
Candy.
And the Ram goes through the progression. It goes from candy, it goes to clothing, to money, to fame, right? But he's saying in all of those things, is always you're doing the learning for a reward. There's a trade-off, right? Whereas Lishma would be if the person really understood the value of the thing and he wants its own value. Okay, so we went through it a little bit more at length. It is possible to hear the old, do you know that already? Yeah. So anyway, we'll talk about it another time. So we wanted to say that the idea of Lishma is that you're looking for that you're getting the benefit of this in the same kind as the benefit that Nobody does things for no reason, right? Even the person who learns, like the Rambam says, you want to have perfection. You want to have knowledge. You want to have Yedias Hashem. So, but all of those things all of those things come from the learning itself. They're all results of the learning itself. In other words, that's all different results of the increase of your knowledge. It's not like you do something for an external type of a benefit. All of those benefits are naturally from the knowledge itself. It's not like you do something to get fame. Fame has nothing to do with knowledge. Fame or wealth have nothing to do with knowledge at all. But perfection that comes from the knowledge itself, that's not called, you don't call that a lo lishma. Because saying I'm learning, I'm gaining these things, you don't say it's a lo lishma because I'm learning, gaining these things, and then I'm going to get a perfection from that. I ultimately have a long-term goal. That doesn't make it not lishma. You know what I'm saying? It's only not lishma when the ultimate benefit is coming from a different type. It has nothing to do with the activity you're involved in. Because if a guy would learn in order to be famous. So the fame is not related in any way intrinsically. There's no intrinsic connection between the fame and the knowledge. The benefit of the knowledge doesn't accrue. Knowledge doesn't give you fame. It's not the result of the knowledge. That's a separate, completely separate thing. People could be famous for knowledge, for athletics, for deformities. You can be famous for a lot of things, right? But the perfection only comes from knowledge. That is a natural result. It's a natural result of the thing itself. Yeah.
What about learning so you can do mitzvos? Is that under the category of perfection? Or?
Okay, so that's the more difficult thing. That I can understand about knowledge. But the Rambam also talks about mitzvos, right? And he says... So he says that what? He says, "V'chein ein tachlis ho emes el ladas shehu emes." There's no purpose of truth other than to know that it's true. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So is there a purpose to truth? Ein tachlis ho emes el ladas shehu emes. So is that a tachlis? I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not a problem that you have with a tachlis. The problem is that you're looking for an external tachlis. You understand? But then he's like, it's v'ham mitzvos emes u'lechein tachlisam kiyumam. Then he says, but the mitzvah and the mitzvos are emes. Therefore, the purpose of mitzvos is to fulfill them. So we said that's a little harder to understand. I can understand knowledge. I can understand knowledge. You can say is you learn because you really want to have the ideas, and you know that having knowledge is going to make you a more perfected person, more in reality. You're going to exist in reality to a greater degree if you're more aware of reality. So that result is the knowledge itself. That's to know the MS. The other result is to know the MS itself. But what does Ram mean by doing mitzvos? Right, what's his equation over here? He says, Ein tachlis ha MS el ladashu MS, va mitzvos MS, ulechein tachlisam kiyumam.
When you say mitzvos, just factually, are you speaking that you're learning to do mitzvos?
No.
Doing mitzvos and why you're doing mitzvos?
Doing mitzvos, because it says, tachlisam, their purpose is doing them. Is kiyumam, is fulfilling them. Right? Yeah. And then the Rambam goes further, then that's where we got into the idea, that's where we got into Ava. Because the Rambam then brings in certain statements of Chazal that seem to be talking about mitzvahs as well. Like it says, Al tiyu kavodam ha-misham shunas arava menas l'kavah pras. Don't be like a servant who works to get a reward. Right? You should not do it for the reward. You should do it not for the reward. Because if you have any idea of the reward, then you're already saying the thing itself is not valuable. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line idea. That if you're looking for a reward, if you're looking for some reward outside of the thing, then you're saying the thing itself is not valuable. Because the reward, by definition, is more valuable than the thing. Because this whole thing is only a means to something else.
When it comes to mitzvahs, isn't there a higher goal other than the performance of the mitzvahs themselves? I mean, it's to set up a certain type of individual that has the ability to think correctly, has all the proper ideas.
One second. So he says, let's go, he says again, he says, and Chazal say, and he says, and that's called an Oved Me'ava. And also Chazal say, Omar Rabbi Elazar b'mitzvosav. He says b'mitzvosav chofetz me'od. B'mitzvosav v'lo b'schar mitzvosav. So you should desire the mitzvos, not the schar of the mitzvos. You should desire the mitzvos, right? And and he says. And he says that's like the level of Avram Avinu. He was an Oved Me'ava. An Oved Me'ava. Yeah. He's an Oved Me'ava. So what does that mean? He's an Oved. So what's the level the Rambam is describing? He's bringing in the Ava to explain mitzvos. Right? That's what it would seem. That's what you need the idea of Ava for. In terms of MS,
that's it.
I recognize as an MS, and the MS is what, and I recognize that I have no choice but to live in the true world. And why am I learning the MS? Because it is the MS, right? Why do you want to know reality? Because it is reality. That's the very benefit of knowing it. To know where you are, to know what type of a being you are, right? It's going to make you more. You are more real. I mean, but mitzvos is a question. Oved me'ava. That's what he says. A different idea. It would seem ahava brings a different idea. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. See, the question is, what mitzvahs is the Rambam talking about? So we said, what mitzvahs is the Rambam talking about?
He doesn't qualify it, does he?
See, it's an interesting thing. Because in Shmona Prakim, right, so the Rambam has a thing in Shmona Prakim, the difference between the Chassid and the Kovesh Yisitzro, right? He says, sometimes Chazal say that a person is great if he does things because he's a chassid, meaning he's naturally drawn to them, like a person who's honest. A person who's honest in his business dealings. A person who doesn't desire to murder somebody. Well, who would you say is better? Says the Rambam, philosophers say, who's better? The person who really wants to cheat and steal but stops himself? Or the person that has no desire to cheat and steal? Right? The one who wants to kill and doesn't? Or the one who killing would be personally a horrible thing to do. So he says, the philosophers and Chazal are in agreement that a chassid is a higher level. The chassid is a higher level because he sees the emes, right? I mean, he sees that there's a reality, and he recognizes the perfection of a certain type of behavior. Yeah. Let's put that go point. But the Rambam says, but the problem is sometimes Chazal say that the one who's Kovesh Yisitzro is greater. Like it says, you're not supposed to say, I don't want the treif. You're supposed to say on the contrary, I would love to eat the treif, but Hashem says I can't. That's the Chazal say. You're supposed to have that attitude. Or the Gemara says, whoever is a greater person has a greater desire for a greater Yetzer, meaning a Yetzer for Avera. So Ram says it's a contradiction, right? This is all what in the sixth parak in Shmar Brachim. So he resolves it by saying the different types of mitzvos, right? Some mitzvos have to do with human perfection, and those mitzvos, like to give an extreme example, Avodah Zarah. You say, obviously a person who recognizes the reality of Torah and Hashem, he can't be in a position where he wants to be an Ovid Vazar, but stopping himself is ridiculous, right? I mean, it's just a ridiculous thing. So that's just naturally not something that he's going to desire once he sees the reality of the Borei, right? I can't go through it all now, but the Rambam has, like, in a similar vein, if you recognize the perfection of Midos, if you recognize a certain perfection of other ideas, then a Shleimus HaAdam, a perfected person, simply won't desire certain things that that are called evil.
Those are examples of the other kind.
Kind that he would desire?
No, because you said the Rambam is pointing out a contradiction. Some chazals indicate chassid, some chazals.
Oh, so that's what you're saying. So you're saying the chassid is definitely better. That means the one that's talking about those types of mitzvos, which stem from the perfection of man, which a man that like stealing and cheating, those kind of things, being dishonest. That if a person has a certain level of perfection. He recognizes being dishonest is bad for himself, like Socrates says. That every person who commits an injustice is really committing a worse injustice on himself. Okay, not everybody believes that, but you have to read you have to go into that type of an inquiry. Maybe we could do that another time. But I just want to bring out a point over here. But he says chukim, right? Like don't wear shatnez. Says there's nothing that a perfected person would naturally say, I don't want to wear shatnez. Can be the most perfected person, you'd never feel it's a wrong thing to do. Right? You understand? So he says those are the things that we say. On the contrary, you should want to do them because that's normal. You should only not do them because it's a mitzvah. That would be weird if you just, right? Not a perfection that's like an aberration, right? That's the Ram in Shmar Brachim, the sixth parak. He says he's very very happy with his answer. He says Hinei Nisboer. It's a very short chapter. You should take a look at it. Hinei Nisboer Mikol. And that's not the reason you should. But before we call Masha Amarnu, Eza Averos Yia Mishaino Mishtokiglen Yosagodl, Mina Mishtokiglen. Now we've explained the Averos that one who doesn't want them is greater than one who wants them. The Kovish Shisraman, the Ezamein Vahabach, and we've exactly classified the mitzvahs. Which ones is considered that you're greater if you don't want to do them, and which ones are the opposite? Vizu Nikuda Nifla Vatiritz Nifla Lishneha Mamar. So this is an astounding point and a fantastic answer for these two statements that seem to contradict each other. The Gamma Lashon Moral Nichonas Mashabiano, and it even fits in with the Lashon.
Bonus.
Okay, but now my question is like this. I can understand to say you're an Ovid Me'ava on the first group. Because he's saying those really come from an idea of perfection itself. And the idea of perfection would seem is part of MS. I mean, it's part of being in reality. Knowing yourself and realizing, like the philosophers say, that it's really an evil. It's a harm to yourself, intrinsically. So naturally, you should not want to do them. And me'ava, you should avoid. You should avoid injustice. Right?
What's
your rodef tzedek? What?
Well, how is that ava? Like ava of what? It's not ava, it's Hashem. What is
I mean, it is, right. It means of emes. Just, it's just in line. What I mean by ava over here, I mean say there's no conflict. So I'm trying to set up the question. But how can you say, how do you say, what about the other ones? How is it possible to say, is it a contradiction to say that on the one hand, you're supposed to relate to shatnez, I wish I could wear that suit, but yeshi, shavina sheva shemayim, right, says you're not allowed to, and then say, I'm doing it me'ava too. Well, let me ask you a simpler question. Take Avram. You understand the question, Dolan?
I think so, but aren't you?
Does
just,
that seem to be contradictory?
But aren't you
to say that on the one hand, the Ram says on the one hand, there are certain class of mitzvos that you should want to violate, right? Right. There's a certain class of mitzvos you should want to violate, and yet he says mitzvos should be done me'ava.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. Simpler question. Avram Avinu, who is the prime example of an Oved Me'ava, when he was taking Yitzchak to the Akeda, right? Was that something he wanted to do?
Let me say it was Yira, Rambam.
So was he not an Oved Me'ava in that case? I mean, what happened to being an Oved Me'ava?
It's one of the brought things down that he was Oved Me'ava because of the
Yira and Nebuah.
I thought it was brought down.
That's what? Yeah, it says Vayashkim Rabokir. Well, Rashi's more of an Ava type of thing. What's wrong? Do you have the Ram? What's wrong?
It's in the Mora, but I think I can find it quickly if I have one. Should I run upstairs and get one?
Question is, can you find the Mora quickly?
Okay.
But isn't it just sort of like a different kind of Ava?
I mean, it's true. Yeah, go ahead.
Meaning, as opposed to the Ava that I guess Socrates was talking about, like recognition of the action itself as a good, it's recognition of the fact that this is good
but
without
either,
seeing
but
the good.
Have to, either would seem that you have to say that when he's talking about the mitzvahs over here, I mean, Ava, he's not talking about all the mitzvahs, right?
Not the Stavra.
Or, yeah, go ahead.
Couldn't you say that he's saying to the general framework of mitzvahs, meaning like the institution of actions which reflect perfection or truth, that would be the thing that you are, that you have ava towards, and then though you may not understand each particular ones, even ones that theoretically you could,
right,
you'd still be doing them out of ava.
Are you saying it doesn't apply to this category or not?
I'm not saying. No good.
I'm saying it does apply to this category.
It does.
But not within the framework itself. Meaning, like, if you look at Chatanez, no one could say that I understand Chatanez.
Yeah,
I'm attached to this. But you say Chatanez is a mitzvah, and then you see it.
Right. The Rashi says, Amulo, why does he go through all the things? Kachna, es bincha, es yechidcha, right? So he says, kedei lechavev olav es a mitzvah. Leading those scar called Dibra Vadibra. Yeah, well, because he saddled his own he saddled his own donkey.
Make it more acceptable.
Clearly, an expression of love.
No, he should have had his servant do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A possible approach.
His servant would probably do it quicker.
So, like, by way of analogy, first things. Like, let's say you have an emotional target individual, right? So he could have something which, in terms of his habits, he really wants to do, right? And insofar as he's prohibiting himself from that, obviously there's going to be a certain amount of emotional pain. But since his religious emotion is fueling his...
What's a religious emotion? Slow down.
No, I know.
No more religiosus?
No. I mean, like, primitive religious emotion.
Okay.
Yeah. So even though it's true, the guy is going to have, you know, some sort of regret or whatever it is, conflict, because, I mean, his tavis do want a given thing, but his religious emotion is preventing him from realizing that. There is going to be a certain satisfaction in satisfying one of the two emotions, because
right.
The religious emotion was satisfied. Oh, look, I'm preventing myself from doing this thing I really want to do.
So maybe you could say the same thing over here. The guy.
You mean like an ascetic? You mean like a?
Yeah, or like a couple, like say a priest, or a priest is celibate.
So he's gonna get a greater satisfaction. Out of some.
I don't know if it's greater, but the end emotion status.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
right.
It's not greater, it's not going to win.
Okay, but that's not my point. All right. My point is simply that there is going to be end emotional satisfaction. So what I want to say is maybe over here you can say the same thing, that when a guy has, insofar as a person's emotions, so there's two elements that a person relates to by any given mitzvah. There's the area in which the mitzvah applies to, so let's say by shatnez. So insofar as the area, you naturally, why not? It's a nice suit. Why shouldn't I wear it?
Right.
But then there's a second thing, which is how I relate to the fact that there's a chok in this area. So the Rambam is saying there's two different frameworks. In the framework of just the area itself, so one should relate to it as, I mean, why not? Kovish it to throw that. I really want to. Really, I'd love to wear the suit. But when there's a second area the emotion's attached to, which is the mitzvah in that area. And in that area, so the person can have an emotion of ahava, which is not, it's not a contradiction. Because he's relating to the mitzvah in that area, not the area itself.
So they ask him, so you're saying Ava applies or not?
Saying Ava does. to the mitzvah, but not the area of the mitzvah. Saying there's, the emotions are called in two different frameworks there.
Got it?
Yeah.
What do you say?
I mean, it's a long paragraph. Very quickly.
Is it pertinent?
I think so.
Okay, read it carefully.
Okay. The account of Abraham, our father, binding his son includes two great ideas or principles of our faith. First, it shows us the extent of... Well, the first thing is fear of God.
Fear of God, go ahead.
The first, it shows us the extent and limit of the fear of God. Abraham is... and the second one he's going to say is... is Nebuah. Yeah.
It's Nebuah, okay.
Abraham is commanded to perform a certain act which is not equaled by any surrender of property or by any sacrifice of life, for it surpasses everything that can be done and belongs to the class of actions which are believed to be contrary to human feelings.
Right.
He had been without child and had been longing for a child. He had great riches and was expecting that a nation should spring from his seed. After all, hope of a son had already been given up, a son was born to him. How great must have been his delight in the child, how intensely must he have loved him. And yet because he feared God and loved to do what God commanded...
Oh.
I knew I was going to get caught on that one.
That's why he's going to be a fan.
he thought little of that beloved child and set aside all his hopes concerning him, and then consented to kill him after a journey of 3 days. If the act by which he showed his readiness to kill his son had taken place immediately when he received the commandment, it might have been the result of confusion and not of discretion. But the fact that he performed it 3 days after he had received the commandment proves the presence of thought, proper consideration, careful examination of what is due to the divine command, and what is in accordance with the love and fear of God. There is no necessity to look for the presence of any other idea or of anything that might have affected his emotions. For Abraham did not hasten to kill Isaac out of fear that God might slay him or make him poor, but solely because it is man's duty to love and to fear God, even without hope of reward or fear of punishment.
It's amazing, right? It's exactly, I think it's not, when he says fear, he doesn't mean fear of punishment.
Right.
Right. But here, he says he doesn't mean that.
What sounds like you're saying love and fear of God.
Even without hope, reward, or fear of punishment.
Like one thing.
It's like a dilemma.
But still, isn't he still saying it's Yira as opposed to Ava in the beginning?
Well, you got to really see the Lushan exactly around. But Yira and Ava, those are the two, those are very closely related. Ava Hashem and Yira Hashem. Ava Hashem and Yira Hashem. That's a separate question. Exactly. How you like in the Yah, the Rama has a very closely related, right? That they're related. The Ava, almost like opposite, two sides of the same thing.
Just puts them with the essays and most essays in one place.
Right, but anyway, but he's saying it's not that he was afraid of being punished. Not that he was afraid of being punished. Yeah. So what do you say? So David is saying that what? He's saying that in particular. In terms of a particular activity, of course, a person wouldn't want to do it, right?
They would want to do it.
I'm thinking about the tzivah, right? Whatever it is.
Okay,
right. You wouldn't want to keep this mitzvah, right? So you can't say he has a natural love for it from the subject itself. But what?
The way you relate to the mitzvah in the area could be one of Abba.
Interesting. See, the Ram says by the Chukim, he says, don't think the Chukim don't have a reason. Right? The chukim have very, very deep reasons. We just don't know them. But we do believe that they have a deep reason, a benefit, or there is some reality behind them. It's not an arbitrary thing. There is something behind them. Right? Yeah. So yeah. So you're saying that. So that's I think the idea of Ava comes in though. That's what we were discussing last week. Well, the other time we had the shiur. That Ava. See, Oved me Ava really is the perfect way to describe it. Because when someone is in love, right, what do people say?
Fine.
They say a lot of things about that, right? right, love is blind. I don't know exactly what that means, though. But anyway, that's a different thing. That means something different. But it's a certain type of, like, an insanity.
Insanity.
Right?
I think that's actually what that means. I'm just actually referring to a shear that...
It means you do things that would appear to be without rhyme or reason and even could be against your personal interest, it would seem. But the explanation is that you're guided by a different ideal. You're guided by a different thing. That to you or me to do that would be crazy. Right? But no, it's not. It looks insane, looks crazy, because it's not responding to the direct cause and effect type of a relationship. You understand what I'm saying? There's, because of the love, like Rashi says, Mekalkel says Yeshua, because of the love, it's a different principle that you're operating under. They used to call a Navi like a Shota. Because everybody else thinks he's crazy, because he's responding to things that he sees as a reality, but the ordinary people don't see any reality. It looks like he's just operating on some crazy, without any rhyme or reason. Right? But that's what he's saying over here too. He's saying that that if it's not a contradiction to say that the guy wants to violate, he would want, I think you're right, that he would want to do, like he says in the Shmona Prakim, that he would want to violate the mitzvah, but he does it me'ava. That's exactly what it means, is me'ava. It means to say it's against the natural inclination. It is against the natural inclination. It is against the natural inclination, but he's doing it because he knows that there's a deeper MS behind it, even though he's not aware of what exactly it might be. But he knows it's a Tzivoy Hashem, and he knows that Tzivoy Hashem is MS. But you can't say he's doing it because of the MS. That's what I'm trying to say over here.
Because he doesn't know.
Because he doesn't know it. You understand? So
all he has is the Tzivoy part.
Yeah. So it has to be.
Because it's God's will.
Well, it has to be Me'ava. I have to think about it a little bit. You know what I'm trying to say?
I'm thinking.
He just knows just the right. He knows just the right thing to do.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he
well,
does,
he
but
knows
he
does
he
know
knows
why.
It like on a secondhand kind of a way. In a secondhand
God
kind of
so.
Way. There's the other things. The
it's
other
implied.
Things he sees it from itself. He sees injustice as intrinsically bad, right?
That would fit in with his natural.
That would fit in with his natural perfection.
Well, then is that really love then?
Yeah,
that's
not
right. No, that's not
love.
That's why you don't need Ava in those cases.
So Ava's for chukim.
Ava is right. Ava is when you're doing it because it's a Tzivoy Hashem.
So Ava can only apply to where you don't have direct knowledge of the thing? If you had direct knowledge, you can never have Ava?
If you have direct knowledge, then it would seem you have Emes. I mean, you don't need to go to Ava. Right?
Emes is good.
Ava is when you can't see the Emes, so your emotions are going to not be in line with the thing. So now you need to describe it with another idea. And the closest idea would be an Ava. An Ava.
Does that mean to say that Lishma is a level in the framework of Ava? I mean, I thought there was like two different things.
Okay, one second. Yeah, what were you going to say?
No, I guess we can discuss the Rambam with where he actually says man is consumed with...
That's right.
Which lach is he consumed day and night, is eating...
That's what we discussed last time.
Right.
Correct.
He woke up of
Tshuva.
And that's what it is.
That's right.
Now, I guess the motivator is the Ava itself, and if a person is motivated to do something unselfish, which is love, then it's not even a second thought.
That's correct.
That's correct. Lost a few points, but hopefully you're catching up.
Yeah, very good, very good. Very good. Yeah. But that's what he means in Shmar Pragma. You can't say, though, even with the Tziwa, you can't say he naturally would not want to do those things, like Shatnas. It's only because... So getting back to your question with Lishma, if you're on the highest level, it would seem, then...
You're not even an Ovid Mi'ava anymore.
No. You still need the idea of an Ava. Because if you're so attached to the MS, right... Ava is the attachment to a certain MS that you can't even perceive.
Again, that would mean to say that if you ever could perceive it, then Ava would have no place there.
Joke.
Yeah, if you're a Malach, a Malach is not an Ovid Me'ava. I mean, Ava is an emotional description because you need to make recourse to some type of a counter emotional thing. You know what I'm saying?
Say again.
Who said that? Yeah.
Me.
In other words, when the person is the chassid, right? Let's go back to the case of the chassid. You know what I'm saying by a chassid, right? So there's no conflict. There's no conflict in the chassid doing the right thing. Oh, they have a soft covered
book?
Yeah. Oh, you have to remind me to give back your money. There's no conflict. There's no conflict in the chassid doing the right thing in those mitzvos, like mishpat, right? But the Rambam is saying there is an intrinsic natural conflict in keeping chukim, because from the chassid's emotion, the chassid has no emotional desires for things that he sees firsthand are evil. That recognition simply dissipates all of those desires. It dissolves all of those desires. That's part of shlamus, that his emotional desires are in line with the reality that he perceives. Right? One second. So...
Yeah. By chukim, though.
But by the chukim, he doesn't perceive that reality. So naturally, his emotions still have energies in those areas. Right? So there is an emotional draw. So now you have to explain, well, if there's an emotional draw, how is he able to do that wholeheartedly? So you must describe it by making recourse to another emotional idea. You understand? That there's an Ava. He's consumed with an all-consuming emotion. In other words, there's two reasons why you're emotionally are going to not... there's two reasons why the emotions are going to be in check. Either because they have no... there's no emotional desire intrinsically, like a chassid for evil, just simply has no desire for it. Or you say he's consumed in another emotion. He's consumed by another by a more powerful thing.
Is that really wholehearted? He just has two emotions, and one stronger than the other. It's not really wholehearted, right?
Well, there's two reasons I'm saying why there's no emotional energy in the in the Avera.
Why you wouldn't end up doing it, basically, prevent you.
See that's the point I'm trying to make in the Rambam. That's the point. This is really to get back to the point, and maybe we never really quenched it. Let's go back to the original question. When Avram was going to bring Yitzchak up, right? Was there a conflict? Was he a covetous Yitzro? Or like in these cases, where the Rambam says in Shemona Prakim, that it's better to be a covetous Yitzro. Are you a covetous Yitzro? Or not? It would seem Ava... if you're going to say he's a covetous Yitzro, is that a contradiction to doing it in Avram? Okay? So I'm saying it's not. Because covetous yitzro simply means that the yetzer has an existence. There is an existence for the thing. Okay? But there's another greater emotional reality of Ava that simply puts the first one completely in check. You understand what I'm trying to say?
That's
as opposed to the
chassid,
forget the word wholehearted.
So you're saying there's no conflict in that. You're describing that as a situation without conflict.
Correct. I'm saying he still is doing it. He's not like forcing himself. It's not a Kovish Chitra like you say. The guy is forcing himself. Because how can you call that Miava?
So does he have a desire for the thing or for the evil or not?
So he disregards the other.
He
concern?
Has a desire. He has a desire.
How can you overcome without being in conflict at all? I don't understand that.
But he's overcome by a greater desire. That's the relationship.
So he never has to be Kovish, basically.
It's a different type of a Kvisha. It's a different type of a Kvisha, correct.
It sounds like you're saying that it's just so... that the love is so strong that it gives up any desire he has to do the
and
evil
thing.
And that's
what
so
we
like
said. That's exactly how we tried to how we define love. If you recollect, that love, we said, is where you have a devotion to the thing to the degree where you're going to go against, where you're going to subjugate yourself to it. What does it mean? No, the chassid, you can't say he's subjugating himself to emes. He's not in conflict with the emes at all. There's no kvisha over there. There's no forcing himself to be in line with it. There's no making himself be in line with it. But Ava, although it's completely willful, you must recognize the fact that he is sacrificing something. He might be happy to sacrifice it, but that doesn't make it not a sacrifice. You understand? You understand what I'm trying to say? Just because you could be happy to sacrifice the thing. That doesn't mean it's not a sacrifice. But that's different than a chassid by emes. He's not sacrificing anything at all. But Avram, that's what Avram builds up the whole thing. He wanted a son for many years, and all of his things he had.
But
his
Ava.
But he was willing to give it all up. Can't say Avram wasn't giving anything up. Of course, he's giving up everything that he's giving up his greatest hopes and aspirations, right? But Ava is the only explanation to how you can do something like that willfully. Not like your case of the religious fanatic,
right? So the bit, yeah.
Because that's selfish. That's what we're saying. Those are all selfish. That's not really Ava. That really is for the self. True Ava is you see something outside of yourself and that eclipses even yourself. Feels like we did at least an hour's worth of it.
It doesn't seem like it. And the Rambam says, Lav kol chacham zoche bo. In my tshuva.
What does it mean?
Yeah, because it's a tremendous level.
What does it mean?
Not every chacham is zocha to this, to this level. To this level.
To.
Of ava. I mean, it's. Yeah, but I think that's the explanation. I think that's the explanation why, how you can at once be. Now you can learn those Rambams, the halach of the Kovish is Yisrael, and still have an Ovid Me'av, or like Ava. What?
Sorry, instead of
smoking. That's like the Musar movement. What's that?
Nothing.
The Musar movement. You see that that we have upstairs?
The pamphlet.
The pamphlet, right? What's it called? Two Great Thinkers?
Something. Two Giants Speak.
Two Giants
Speak.
The yellow one.
So there he has, that's what Yisrael Salanter. Right on the Musa, so he has over there that he has the example of Avram. That's his, that's one of his things that he wants to say, that there's two types of recognitions. You can have the conscious, and then there's some unconscious thing. Right, as this is his famous example. He says you can ask. Right, I think I mentioned it last week that you can. That you can wake up, you can ask a guy who's a big Rosh Shiva, and he has a son who's not very a bum, let's say, and he has his Talmidim. So he says you ask him, you say he loves his Talmidim more, but if you wake him up in the middle of the night, he'd go in and save his son, right? So his idea was he should try to affect the. So he says that shows you that what there's a certain, and when he's awake, he really completely believes that he loves the Talmidim more. Right? She says, you see, there's some inner yetzer that you're not aware of. And he says, that, I think he says, it was Avram. He says, that's why it says, because he shows there's certain contradictory things. He says it's Ava, but then it says he was crying, right? So he says, that was the thing with Avram, that he was doing with, he's trying to get both yetzers. That was the, to have both yetzers in line. Because really...
How do you do that?
I don't know. That's the only problem. I don't remember. But that's the Muslim. He held that you could affect the inner feelings could be affected by working on it.
Did he give any type of method or a semblance of a method to do?
Yeah, he had a whole method. I mean, the Muslim is a whole methodology. You have to look at it. It was based on certain ideas of psychology. You have to two giants speak. I mean,
okay.
Taste, listen. So. but that's that he's, I think he's trying to work out
Giants,
he's
right.
Trying to deal with that idea, the Ava. It can be a conscious Ava,
really big pen.
But then you can have internally you don't want to do it.
Example,
that's a little different than what
example Ava was actually it's really a perfect example, because if you take example of a normal father, so it could be a certain thing that the father really does have to sacrifice a hit
right.
to himself for the benefit of the child.
Right.
Yet the love for the child, it's not like a call. Like he wholeheartedly is going to go ahead and he's going to do the thing which is better for the child. But at the same time, doesn't mean he is losing something.
Right. That was the example we gave last week, right? Of the parents who work to sacrifice for the children. But that's still different, because that's not as great a level of Ava, because he's finding the person is transferring their own satisfaction to
the children.
It's
a different kind of Ava. It's a different kind of Ava.
Right.
So far as Ava is concerned, it's the same setup.
It's sort of like you're able to, with a child, you're able to love yourself via another person. But that's why it's somewhat of a contradictory kind of a thing. Fantasy kind of a thing. But, All right, let's stop here, because the next point is different. Maybe we'll read the next point, so we'll know. You have something to think about. You have plenty to think about now, but...
Can you just read Ava one more time?
We said last week, we gave a preliminary idea on Ava, on love. I'm trying to explain because there are different kinds of love. There's love for siblings, love for children, right? Love for a woman. And the Rambam says love for Hashem is like the love of a woman, right? So we're trying to define, but you do see love has a lot of expressions. So we're trying to define what's a universal idea of love. Right, so we said love is where you're, because of another thing, a love of country, right? Because of the recognition of another, well, I don't know if we had it exactly so well defined, but we're saying there's a feature of love, and that is that because of the other thing, you're willing to subjugate, you're willing to subjugate yourself to the other thing. Meaning to say that the recognition of the other thing is so great that you don't even think about yourself, and you're willing to. That's the ultimate love of Hashem, is that you don't think about yourself at all. Whereas brotherly love and love of a child, those have limits. There's a certain realm of your life that you're gonna not think about yourself, but other realms you're gonna. It's a limited kind of a love, right? But love in general, we said, is a subjugation of the self to something else. But not in like a forceful kind of way. The natural subjugation from the thing itself, it causes a certain subjugation of the self. That's described as love. That's a general idea of love, right? And ultimately, the highest expression is Ahavas Hashem, where every aspect of your being is subject to that. But right, and that's but it does imply a negation of the self. That's why the Oved Me'ava could be. That's why we could apply the term of Oved Me'ava by the case like Avram. You wouldn't say that by a chassid in those things. That's not a subjugation. That's just a natural thing. You have to resort to the Ava when there is a natural conflict. Right? Okay.